Hello. Good
Hi.
evening, all.
Hello,
That was good.
hello.
I'm Gracie. We have another episode of Mets in the UK podcast for you. We are trying something a bit new this time. Got a bit of video on the go. Exciting. I am joined, as always, by my beaut Tracy. Hello. Good evening.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Bit of a cold, so I
Good.
apologize in advance for any sniffling that goes on. But other than that, see, straight away. Other than that, all good. We are also joined today, once again, by a friend of Mets in the UK, Tom. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good, all good. We are very pleased to have you with us.
Thank you.
We are 8 days away from opening day as we record. Who knows when
Yeah.
this will get out? It'll get out soon. But right now, we are
Tomorrow,
8 days.
if all goes to plan.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. 8 days to opening day. 81 days to the London series. Not
Not
that
that we're
we're
counting at
excited
all.
much. No. Who's counting?
No.
Who cares? Who cares? We've got Tom along because you may have seen on Tom's Twitter that he has very kindly put out a wonderful video on YouTube giving some tips for coming to visit the London series, everything you need to know. So we're going to get to that shortly. First of all, guys, very briefly, Tracy, you and I will talk a little bit more about this with the gang later in the week. But
We
Tom, what have you
shall.
made of spring training so far, and how are you feeling about the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think we've had a good spring training so far. I think for me, the main takeaway is the fact that Mendy seems to have the players smiling again, which we kind of lost a little bit last year under Buck. So it's nice to see the players enjoying themselves, laughing and joking, and having a good time enjoying baseball. I think pitching's been really strong. I think Cohen's investment in the pitching lab is already starting to pay off. We're seeing that with Buoto and McGill looking fantastic in spring training. Yes, I know it's only spring training, it doesn't really count for things, but the fact that we have seen an improvement there is giving me some optimism for the season. I think overall, yeah, just the team sort of seeing in a good place after last year, which I think we can all admit was a difficult year. For them to seem like they're ready to bounce back from that and do so with a smile on their face, it's what I want to see from spring training, definitely.
Who's been your standout of spring training?
Ooh, well, I'm a pitching guy. I love my pitching. So Nate Lavender's really impressed me. I've been really impressed with him. Like I said, Buoto and McGill, I've been impressed with what they've got. Hauser, he's looked good as well. I think it's going to be a really difficult one picking the bullpen because all the guys really seem to have stepped up and really seem to be throwing well. Outside of that, Iglesias has looked really good fighting for that bench spot. Quite where that's going to go, I don't know. You've got him, you've got Choi, DJ Stewart, all fighting for that bench spot. So it's good to see that we've got healthy competition for once. Last year, I think depth, certainly as the season went on, kind of went against us a little bit. We were relying on Aroes and Ortega like way too much. They weren't MLB caliber players, were they? And it's nice to see that we've got some strength and depth this year.
How about you, Tor?
Yeah, I've been impressed with that. I mentioned earlier, we did that thing, was it last week before, when it was very much, as Tom said, the vibe of spring training, more importantly. It is only, nobody cares about the results in spring training, but the purpose of it is to bring the players together, get them working on those mechanics, get them working together. And there's very much been that vibe. I think for me, the really exciting thing, and again, Tom's already touched on this, is that last year there was a big thing about the baby Mets. This year, we've got a whole other load of baby Mets that are really close and are really going to be pushing to take that baby. Our baby Mets of last year are toddlers. Like, they're going to be moving up the class, right? And we're going to have new ones coming through. So that has been really encouraging. Obviously, we've had Senga go out, but we'll, like I said, we'll kind of delve a little bit more into it later in the week. But for me, the overriding thing has been the vibe. It's been fun. It looks like, you know, they are enjoying being there and being around each other. And we get Jeff back tonight as well, so I'm super excited for that. Yes. It'll be interesting to see. I think he was, even though he picked up towards the back end of the season, I think he was a little bit disappointed with how his season went last year, following the year before that. So it'll be good to see what kind of stuff he's got when he comes back tonight, and how long he stays in for.
Yeah.
We shall see. What about you?
For me, it's been Alvarez. He's just, he looks like he's toned up. He looks like he's completely on his game. And he, like you say, he looks like he's having fun. And the return of the trumpets, that just gave me chills when Edwin Diaz came out. It was just like, he's back. And that having a real closer is going to be such an improvement over last year, because we kind of made do, and having someone whose job it is to be a closer and to know that you can feel confident giving the guy the ball and lights out, trumpet time, what more do you need?
Anything but Drew Smith in the closer role, I'm happy.
Don't <Yeah. laughs> the flashbacks.
Bless him.
So he stepped up.
Needed to... Amazing. So let's move on to 81 Days London series.
I've noticed at all.
We're getting our boys our side of the pond. I mean, we have to travel to them usually, so it's such a nice change to have them coming to us. We know that not everybody is fortunate enough to be able to get over there to see them as well. So the fact that there are so many people that are going to get to see them for the first time, there are going to be casual fans who the first game that they go to, poor things, is going to be Met Phillies, and they're going to end up, you know, forming an allegiance to one of those teams, a lifetime of misery.
We will take you.
Yes, come on, come all. We'll take you all. But there's going to be, you know, London will be taken over again by baseball.
Yeah.
And it just, the hype last year, and Tom, I'll ask for your thoughts on last year shortly. Last year was great. I think this year... you know, I mean, people have said this before, people were laughing at me last year being like, what are you going to be like next year? Because I did not sit down the whole weekend. I intended to stay for one night, stayed for three, four. I just stayed. I just did not stop all weekend. And they weren't even my teams. So, yeah, this year's going to be amazing. We have First Pitch Festival again, so keep an eye out on Baseball Softball UK on their social media, because there'll be information around how to volunteer to get involved with that. I can tell you from experience last year, it's such a rewarding experience. Working with school children, getting them to learn some baseball skills, some teamwork, getting them buzzing about the game, and, you know, them going off with their PE teachers saying, we want to play this, we want to do this. It's so exciting. And then seeing them all at the stadium over the weekend as well to come to the games, they were raucous, they were making so much noise and having such a great time. It was just that. So keep an eye out for that for sure as well. If you can volunteer, you're in London and in Liverpool, get yourself along to that. So, Tom, I mentioned I just lost myself last year. How did you find it last year? We got to hang out a little bit. What were your thoughts on the product that MLB brought to London?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I didn't go to the Yankees Red Sox game, So that was my first taste of the London series, if you like. I thought they did a really good job. You know, it was, I did wonder, you know, with it being a football stadium, how it was going to translate, you know, because one of the benefits of City Field is or any MLB baseball park, you know, you can get up, you can wander around. There's the social element to it as well. And obviously my experience of sitting in a football stadium is very much you sit down, you don't leave your seat. If you stand up, you get told off. So I was wondering how that was going to translate, but it was good to see people, you know, that ballpark spirit hadn't been lost. There were people from pretty much every team I saw there. I saw pretty much every jersey, people enjoying the game, even if they weren't invested in what was on the field. You know, Cardinals and Cubs are not my teams, obviously, but I still enjoyed the game. It was a nice atmosphere. I thought overall they did a really good job of showing off MLB in a positive way. And like you said, it's about enticing those new fans. I saw plenty of people there without a jersey who were maybe seeing baseball for the first time or just enjoying themselves for a day out. And I think that's what it's all about, really.
Absolutely. I was lucky enough to go to the first one. Couldn't get to last year's. But it's a real festival of baseball. Yeah. And it showing the depth of the UK taste for baseball and showing that it's a lot different to other UK sports. Like there's no home and away end. You're all mixed in together. You could be sat next to a Yankees fan like an Otori was.
Last year.
And it doesn't matter. You're just there for the love of the game. And the crowd was amazing the first year. And from what I saw of last year's footage and everything, it looked even more amazing. So we are going to rock the London Stadium in 81 days.
It is going to be amazing. If I remember rightly, I think it was like 100,000 people over the weekend that were there. And they say that, you know, people don't know baseball in the UK. It's 100,000 people.
So wrong.
We wouldn't get that over a weekend. You could play, you know, 3-4 football matches in that stadium over the weekend. You wouldn't get that many people there. As Tom said, all of the teams covered, people with no teams, very casual fans that come in to see it for the first time just because it's there. Let's not forget as well, we had all the activity in Trafalgar Square as well. Mm-hmm. Managed to pop along for a little bit of that. That was a load of fun. Seeing baseball fans just wandering in and around London, like all over the weekend, you know, just away from the ballpark. I keep calling it a ballpark. I know it wasn't a ballpark. Away from the stadium. but that's what a great job they did, because it's, you know, I've been to the London Stadium for football and for gigs and stuff. And like you, I was, you know, the first time I went, I was a bit anxious, like, how's this going to work? But they literally, like, take all the partitions down. You can walk all around the outside. Like, I was running around just like I do at City Field, seeing everybody here. Where are you? Where are you? But I kind of constantly apologising to the people that I'm there. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to go. Sorry, I'll be back in a minute. Because you can just walk around and see it all and see it from different angles. And you've got the ballpark food and you've got the music and you've got the atmosphere. And, you know, you've got people talking about baseball.
Yes.
So it's going to be, it's taken too long for us to get here. I think, you know, COVID didn't help. If we hadn't had COVID, we'd have grown already much more quickly. I just hope that we can keep to the cadence now, because hopefully people will start expecting it, and then eventually we'll perhaps, like with the NFL, we'll perhaps get two series a year, or you know, it won't just be limited to one. But I think the thing that they have done well is they've tried to get it so that there are rivalries, so that at least the teams that come want to naturally make it competitive. So I think that helps. We are going to bring so many people over from New York. Every time I go, I've mentioned this before, you know, people are asking about it, getting really excited to come over. We are going to drown out the Phillies fans, without doubt.
Yep.
Can I just make one little point? We have already beat the Phillies once. We were at the MLB Europe quiz. Tori and I were lucky enough to be invited, and we beat the Phillies then. And we see that as a sign of things to come. We're going to beat the Phillies in London. There, I said it.
Yeah. And Joe designated that quiz win as a tiebreaker as well, didn't she? So if we win a game each Sunday,
yeah,
then we get to pick because we beat the Phillies in the quiz. So yeah, it's no pressure. No pressure. Well, there's no pressure. It's gone because we've already got the win. So it's fine.
We've done our bit.
We've done our bit. But it is going to come round real quick. If you've not already got your tickets, get your tickets. Let us know where you're going to be. You're going to be able to see us around. Like I said, there's barely any point in us sharing where we're sat because we'll be around. We'll be around. We'll have our flags. We will have our massive flag. As soon as we've confirmed some meeting spots, obviously we'll be putting that out there as well. But it's, you know, we can't wait to see so many Mets fans together, because you know we see each other in groups and we get to see the odd person here and there, but this is an opportunity for as many Mets fans as possible to get together at the same time over the weekend to watch our Mets together and have that shared experience. It's just going to be amazing. With that in mind, Tom, you have shared some tips for those planning to come. You have done a wonderful YouTube video on that. That is pinned on your Twitter, which is at TomMYMUK. So if people want to go back and go and look through that, then that's where to find it. But in the meantime, if people have not yet seen that and are just watching this, please share.
Yes, so I should imagine most people by now have already started planning or thought about where they want to go, what they want to do. I did send the video, you know, flight wise, it doesn't really matter which of the London airports you fly into. Heathrow into the middle of London is like a 50 minute underground ride. Gatwick is 45 minutes on a train. So it doesn't really matter because they're both fairly close. It just depends on, you know, flights and cheap and time and all that kind of stuff when you're planning a trip. When you stay in London, I'd actually say stay away from Stratford, because a lot of the hotels in the area have jacked the prices up ready for the series. You can probably find somewhere cheaper and nicer if you stay a little bit further afield. Those of you that are familiar with New York and Manhattan, London is nothing like that. It's quite small. So from Westminster, where Big Ben is, to Tower Bridge on the other side of central London, that's only 2.5 miles. It's not a very big space. It's quite easy and accessible to get around. If you're at Big Ben and you need to get to the stadium for the game, it's 50 minutes on the underground. And that's if it's bad. You know, it's 40, 45 minutes if it's a quietish sort of time. So London is not massive like Manhattan. So it's very accessible. It doesn't matter where you stay. The underground runs throughout the night. I think there's like 1 hour, you know, where it doesn't run between like 4 and 5 in the morning. But most of the main lines are now 24/7. So, you know, stay anywhere you want, whatever's good with you, whatever works. Whilst we're talking about transport, I did say, you know, underground there. Underground's probably the best way to get around London. It's fairly cheap. It's easy to do. You know, you can tap in with Apple Pay, Android Pay, Samsung Pay, any of those sort of mobile phone type ones. You can use contactless on your card. And the way that works is there is a daily fare cap. So if you're using the underground a lot, each time you go, you tap in and then you tap out on the other side. And when you do that, when you hit the daily fare cap, which is about $15, I did the conversion check earlier, it's about $15. At that point, it's capped. You then don't pay any more that day. And all of the sort of the rides you take on the underground after that point are then free, even though you've got to make sure you keep using the same card or the same payment method to get that. But I definitely say give that a go. You've got other ways of getting around London. So we have the Santander bikes, which are like the city bikes that you get in New York. Use them at your peril. There are plenty of videos online of cyclists in London not having a good time. So I'd advise against that one. At the same time, we've also got e-scooters that you can hire that are similar.
No.
You know, I've been driving over half my life. I would not use one of those around London. Yeah. It's just an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah.
we've got Uber, we've got black cabs. You might find Uber's a bit cheaper than a black cab, but the black cab companies have really stepped up their game in response to Uber. So it's not a case of you're going to get ripped off if you go in a black cab. It might be something iconic you want to do. You know, I know certainly when I went to New York, it was all like, got to go in a yellow cab. So it might be that you want to get in a black cab whilst you're over here, or maybe one of the red buses. You know, maybe buses are your thing. I don't know. Or you could walk around. You know, like I said before, the centre of London is very walkable. 2.5 miles from Westminster to Tower Bridge is not far. There's plenty you can see along the way. Lots of atmosphere, lots of nice people, lots of stuff going on. Just walk it. Whilst we're on the topic of walking, unlike America, there's no jaywalking rules over here. So, you know, cross the street wherever you want. No one's going to pick
you
up on
peril.
Obviously, road safety, check both ways, you know, all that kind of good stuff. But you don't have to use the crossings. You'll find that most people don't. And it's not something to worry about like you would in the States. So yeah, whilst you're here, other than the game itself, you might want to do a few other sort of bits and pieces. If you go to the video, I've done a map and I've marked everywhere with an X on the map. Obviously, you can find these yourself. So one of the places I'd recommend checking out whilst you're over here is Hyde Park, which is the version of Central Park. Not as big, but just as nice. Always good for a walk. If you're a runner or something, you want to go for an early morning run, that's definitely the place to go. Near to Hyde Park, you've got Buckingham Palace. So maybe the King will be in, maybe not. We don't know. Alongside there, you've also got St. James's Palace. Now, this is one that not many people know about. If you search that on the maps, this is where you can find the King's Guards, the ones with the big black furry hats.
Bearskins.
Yeah. You can have a picture near them, but if you get within 2 or 3 feet of them, they will yell at you. They will tell you to back away. So you have to be really respectful around them. They are on guard. They are on duty. But if you want the picture, you know, by all means, that's where you can find them. As well as that, you've also got Westminster and Big Ben, which is sort of in a similar sort of region of London. If you want the tourist photo of Big Ben, do not do it on the bridge. You will have thousands of people in your background of your photo. If you cross over the bridge, there is a hospital on the other side. And if you stand on the riverfront there, you can get a lovely clear shot of Big Ben, the bridge and Westminster all together, all in one. And it's a lovely place. It's quite quiet because not many people know about it. So Mets fans, get yourself over there. Whilst we're talking about bridges, Tower Bridge is the one that you will have seen. It's not called London Bridge. If you ask someone for London Bridge, you will get the most boring bridge you have ever seen in your life.
Yes.
But please, if you are doing it, go to Tower Bridge. That's the one that you are after, not London Bridge. Also near there, you've got the Tower of London. So if you want to learn about English history, putting people's heads on spikes, that's the place to go.
See the crown jewels? And see the crown jewels?
Yes, the crown jewels as well. They are there as well. If you walk from Westminster to Tower Bridge, you're going to pass St. Paul's Cathedral. There is the Millennium Bridge near there, so that's also worth checking out. T mentioned Trafalgar Square earlier. Now, normally I'd say to any tourist coming to London, you know, get yourself to Trafalgar Square. But whilst the MLB are here for the games, that's taken over with other things. So you're probably not going to go to check that one out. But near Trafalgar Square, we've got Piccadilly Circus, which is our version of Times Square on a much, much smaller, less impressive scale. So that's kind of it for the main touristy stuff that people want to see and check off whilst they're in London. But there's some other things you might want to do whilst you're here or not do. So the one thing I always tell people when they come to London, do not do the London Eye. It's a big con. You'll pay a lot of money. You'll spend hours in the queue. And it's not that impressive when you get up to the top. You're sharing a bubble with other people. The view's not great. So what I suggest you do is you search for a place called the Sky Garden. And the Sky Garden's a little bit further across in London. But when you get up there, it's a rooftop bar. It's free to get in. And there's some absolutely stunning views of the London skyline that you can have completely for free. Have a drink up there whilst you're there. Have a good time. And yeah, just enjoy it with a nice view. You can get some nice pictures. Just don't bother with the London Eye. If we're thinking about food, London's really diverse. There's a good choice of food that you can have whilst you're down there. There is something for everyone. You know, if you want to stay American, there's a Shake Shack in Leicester Square, you know, there's McDonald's everywhere. But if you want to try some good old English food, get yourself down to either Borough Market or Spitalfields Market. There's plenty of good independent British traders there. You can get some fantastic food. Borough Market has probably some of the best fish and chips you'll find in London. So I definitely recommend trying that one out. There are places that do American style food as well, like I said, but we've got, there's a place called Home Slice, which does probably the closest thing I've had to New York pizza in London. They're pretty good. There is also a place on Brick Lane whose name I'm forgetting, but they do the proper pastrami sandwich type stuff with the big pickle and the mustard. So, you know, if you're craving home, get yourself down there, and that's somewhere to check out. Away from food, you might have some Harry Potter fans. If you're looking for platform 9 3/4 for that picture whilst you're here, get yourself to King's Cross Station. You can access platform 9 3/4 without a ticket to go on the train, so you should be able to go up, do your little selfie thing. I think there is, last time I went anyway, there was a like a trolley half glued to the wall, so yeah, that yes. should still be there.
There is a queuing system there now, though.
Oh, okay. Good to
I was
know.
There last week.
Oh, okay. It's been a while yeah. since I've been, but yeah. I'd say go there if you want to do that. If you're a shopping person, you've got Oxford Street or Covent Garden, which are nice places to go and do your thing. But as well, you know, whilst you're in the UK, why not check out some of our wonderful museums? We've got the British Museum, the Science Museum, the National History Museum, the Tate Gallery. If you like old art, if you want modern art, there's the Tate Modern. All of these are completely free to get into and have a look around at all the things that over the years we've stolen from other countries. So take a fancy depending on what you're into. Around the stadium itself, there's not a lot. So if you are going to the stadium, there is a Westfield shopping centre, which is average. There's a few food places in there. Average, but there's not much else. There are a few bars, and I know there's that great place, I can't remember the name, that we met when we had all the beers last year.
Oh, that just out of the way. Yeah, we'll post that in the
yeah. So in the comments, there are a few bars and places around the stadium that you can, but there's obviously the stadium food, like Tori was saying earlier. You know, there's stuff you can do in. So, but if you are heading out to the stadium at that point, you are probably there for the game. There's not really a great deal to see and do around that area. Lastly, a few sort of other bits and pieces useful for the Americans that have not been before. Taxes. So the price you see is the price you pay. There's no sales tax that gets added on at the end. So if you see something and it's £10, you will pay £10 at the till. Tipping. In the UK, we're not a tipping culture. Obviously, if you have nice service and you feel you want to give someone a tip, fine, by all means, I'm sure it would be greatly appreciated, but it's not expected by any means in this country. You know, waiting staff are paid a reasonable wage. I'm sure they disagree with me for saying that, but you know, they're not expecting tips as part of their service. Payment methods, London's pretty good at cashless, so if you want to use cards or any of the mobile payment systems, most places will accept it now. In fact, I can't remember the last time I needed cash when I was in London. Just whilst we're on the topic of money, a pint of beer at today's conversion rate is about $6 to $8 for one pint. Fish and chips is anywhere from $10 to $15, depending on where you go, depending on what you have. Obviously, those are the British staples, you know, if you want to try those out whilst you're here. And then lastly, some frequently asked questions. London is not a 24/7 city. It's not like New York. If it's a pub, it has to shut at 11 o'clock, maybe a little bit past it if they're feeling a bit cheeky. If you want to stay out late, you're probably going to have to find some sort of club or later hours kind of place. But many of the shops and supermarkets will also shut early. So, you know, you've got to be careful around that. You're less likely to find what you want at 2-3 in the morning than if you are during the day. Safety wise, you know, London is a fairly safe city. There's not much in the way of crime and trouble. Obviously, you know, watch your belongings when you're on public transport, just like you would in any city. But generally speaking, it's not that much of a big sort of crime zone. The water is perfectly safe to drink from the tap. British water standards are quite high, but you know, The reason I say this is that at the stadium, one of the things I really enjoyed last year, they had those refillable bottle stations, which is useful. So if you are feeling thirsty, it's just tap water. It's completely free. Help yourself. Really useful, you know, especially if it is a hot day. Whilst we're talking about the weather, British weather is about as unpredictable as it gets. So, you know, prepare for everything, because you could have rain, snow and sunshine all in one day. You know, it could be absolutely anything. So, you know, bring a spare layer just in case, maybe something waterproof just in case. You never know. I think I'm praying, absolutely praying the weather holds out on us, but you just never know. And then lastly, a few sort of UK versus US differences. British people, generally speaking, are much more reserved than Americans. We're big on manners. Please and thank you goes a long way in this country. At the same time, if you see a queue, join it. Please don't try and jump your way to the front because you're on holiday. You're going to upset a whole bunch of people. It's not going to go down well. We are a nation of queuers, okay, and we absolutely love it.
It's
at the same time, we're quite sarcastic. British humour is quite dark. Bear that in mind. You know, you are likely to get sarcasm in a very healthy dose whilst you're over here. And then lastly, you know, British people are not as patriotic as Americans. You will not see thousands of UK flags all over the place. It's not like that at all. Something to be mindful with that, though, is that topics like politics and Brexit are very divisive in the UK. So if you know your stuff about it, please, you know, stay away from it, because you are very likely to upset someone if you go talking about that kind of stuff. Kind of like America, we are in a general election year. It's got to happen at some point this year. So politics is at the forefront. People are talking about it, but it's probably best to stay away, especially with the whole Brexit thing as well. It's a very sensitive subject for people to talk about. Other than that, you know, I think I've kind of covered as much of London as I can. I have got family down there, so that's what a lot of this is based off. You know, I've got people that live there and work and commute there. So a lot of the tips have come from them. So thank you to them for that. I go down at least twice a year. So, you know, if I've forgotten something or you want to ask me any questions, you know, I'm at TomNYMUK. If you want to ask me anything about London, please feel free. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And like I said, that video that's pinned on my X profile, there is that map if you want to find stuff like where it is and plan ahead.
That's amazing. Thanks, Tom.
My husband has asked me to share a couple of tips. They're not quite up to the standard of Tom's. Be warned, British sense of humour. Yes, we have hot and cold indoor running water. Yes, we have toilets. And they're indoors as well. And like Tom says, stay away from politics. You won't get a very nice reaction from a lot of people.
Yeah. And no aircon here. Might get aircon in the odd shop, but it never gets hot enough here for us to need it. And when it does, like, it's for a day and everyone just melts and complains. But it's just not a thing. In fact, I was having a very similar conversation with an American colleague earlier about the fact that we do not have aircon. It's not standard. A lot of hotel rooms might have them in some of your more upscale, but generally you'll just be told to open the window and hear the little bit of traffic. Just a couple of things. I think you talked about walking and running. If, like me, you are a keen runner and you take part in parkrun, I know there aren't any in New York specifically. Don't even get me started on that. But we do have a few different parkrun venues in and around London, some that you can get to further out on the train or the tube relatively easily. So if you want to know where any of those are, feel free to give me a shout, or you can just look it up on the Parkrun UK website. The other great tip, Covent Garden is literally my favourite place in London.
Yes.
So if you get the opportunity to go, it's just got a lovely vibe. It's really pretty. I would recommend getting off at Piccadilly perhaps and walking to Covent Garden, because Covent Garden station isn't the most accessible. It can be a little bit tricky unless you want to walk the staircase, which I quite enjoy doing, but not everybody does. So get yourself around Piccadilly and Covent Garden. Borough Market, as Tom mentioned, is, I mean, it's my go-to when, you know, I'm in and out of London for football mostly and gigs and stuff. Borough Market is one of our favourite places to go. In fact, when we had some friends over from the US in the summer, we took them to Borough Market. That was our main choice to take them there. So Borough Market, again, really good vibe, some great food, lovely drink, some good, you've got the mix of pubs. You've got our proper British pubs, which is the ones that you might have visits of. And there's some, you know, some more regular bar style places. The bars are the ones that will stay open that little bit longer. Your pubs, as Tom said, will close at 12. And in fact, they'll close earlier on Sunday as well. So sorry, at 11, but they'll close earlier on Sunday, only slightly. Yeah, and the other point to note when you're buying food and drink is we don't automatically have tabs so much here. It's much more you pay as you go. So if you're going to the bar, expect to be asked to pay. You can, if you want to add a tab, most places, not all, but most places have the functionality to open a tab. So if you're not offered a tab, by all means, ask for one. But it's not normal for us to have tabs here. We'll usually pay as we go. Normally, because we go drinking in big groups and we take it in turns with rounds anyway. So yeah, that's kind of why that happens, because we don't, you know, we don't sit and have a tab and then share it at the end. The difference to that is if you're in a restaurant, you're having a meal and you're ordering your drinks to the table. But that's just one thing to be aware of when you're in a bar. Definitely go cashless wherever possible, just because it's much easier, and most places don't. The smaller, more independent places might prefer cash, just because there's fewer overheads for them to handle cash. But most places are cashless these days. But yeah, I think that was a wonderful job, Tom. I concur with everything that you put in there. All of the recommendations are absolutely spot on. See how many of them you can get through. I know of people that are literally coming for a couple of days. I know of others who are coming for a week. I mean, if you're coming for a week, you can jump on the Eurostar and go to Paris. Like, you know, you can get to Paris super quick from central London. So there's an awful lot that you can do while you're here. London is a great city, and it will be very, very open to all you wonderful folk coming to visit us. And as far as Mets in the UK goes, we cannot wait to have everybody here.
We are so excited, as you may be able to gather from our just general giddiness.
Okay, yeah, Tom, we cannot go. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm super looking forward to it. The Sunday game is my birthday, so I'm beyond excited. The fact that I get to see Mets in the UK on my birthday, it's going to be like the best day.
We're going to have a mass sing song for Tom on his birthday.
Nope.
Oh, yes.
Nope.
I'm going to find you.
Oh, it's happening. Okay.
Even if it just means you are getting sung out.
Yeah, everyone will hear it anyway if it's me and Trace. I mean, come on. Yeah. Quick prediction. Not that we're going to hold you to it at this point in the season, because we've not even started. What are we going to do this year? Let's have it.
Trace, should we go first?
We've got an opportunity to go back on whatever we say right now, because we're, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Realistically, mid division. Dream, we're going to win it all. Yeah.
I'm going to stick my neck out on this one, because this might be my only opportunity. Ooh. So, I've been saying all off season, I think we're an 86 win team. We're definitely going to be plus 500. We are so clear of the Nationals. Marlins not looking good. Sorry, Pete. And I think third place is well within our grasp. I think after last year, you know, we're in a position now where we're not going to win the division. Let's face it, you know, let's be realistic about it. But I think as long as we can make a positive step forward, we can get in the postseason again, even if it's through that wild card, I think that's the step in the right direction that Cohen's talking about. It makes it more of a sell to the players that we're trying to get through free agency next year. You know, it's no secret who we might be after, who's on that list. But I think, you know, when you look back at the last decade, we've been in the postseason, what, three times? One of them was a World Series.
Yeah.
That's not prolific enough to convince most players to come and play on the Mets, because they're going to want to be on a winner. They're going to want to play for someone that's at least in contention. So I think after last year, it's really important we bounce back, get into that postseason, whatever way we possibly can, even if it means a late run. You know, and I think that's probably what we're going to see from this team. You know, the fact that Stearns with the Brewers, they were very solid defensively. They were great pitching. You know, I think we're going to see a copy of that whilst he's with the Mets. And I think we are in for a much more positive season. It's not going to be 101 wins like 2 years ago, but I think we're going to have a much more positive experience than we did last year.
Okay.
I'll take that. Well, I'm not going to say 102 like last year. I genuinely felt at this time last year that we were in a stronger position than we had been the year before, which is why I genuinely thought, obviously we didn't know how it was going to transpire and all the injuries and dirt. I think we're going to be challenging for that second spot. I hope for wild card. But I think that we're much closer already, because of the experience the youngsters have had from last year. It's clear that that's the direction that we're taking. We'll also have the opportunity to do some of that quick smash and grab towards the end of the year if it looks like we're in contention and we might need that little bit more experience for a push. But I think that the team that we have now, I said the other week, I'm not concerned about our pitching. Yes, Senga's down. Mm-hmm. He'll be back. I'm genuinely, I think it's all, especially with Diaz being back, obviously that just gives everyone much more confidence. But
yes,
I'm still a little bit concerned about third base. Still a little bit worried there. But everywhere else, I'm happy. So I think that we are going to be much closer than we were last year.
Are you happy with the DH?
I don't mind Vientos. I think he needs to be given a chance. I think he's warming up already. It's spring training, and he's learning what he needs to work on. And I think knowing that he's going to be doing that pretty much every day will work for him. I think part of the problem that he had last year is he was in and out, and is he playing and where's he playing? And I think if it's made clear to him that that's primarily going to be his job, and maybe he'll cover third from time to time, I think yes, that will help him, because he'll have that focus and that direction. You know, the hits that he's made over spring training have been bombs. You know, so I think once he gets into the rhythm, he'll be off. So third base is my big concern in DH.
Yeah, I think with the Vientos thing, I think when you think back to last year, how long Vogelbach was given to try and prove that he could be the DH, how many at-bats they gave him over that season. And we were all screaming for him to go by the end. I think Vientos at least deserves that same amount of time from the organisation. I don't think he, you know, if he has a difficult start to the season and he doesn't start hitting until May, you know, we need to give him that time and that patience. Like you said, I'm backing him. I think he will come good. He did come good towards the back end of last season when he had a consistent run of games. And I think, like I said, he just needs that bit of time and that bit of patience from the fans, which I know is not something Mets Twitter is always great at giving players. But if we can just give him that time and that space to develop and not expect him to come out and you know, have an above 300 batting average straight away, you know, I think it will be there. I agree. Yeah.
I think this is maybe partly where our Britishness helps us out a little bit. We can be a little bit more reserved isn't a word, perhaps a little more realistic and a little more patient. You know, I say realist. So did you get that? I'm saying that somebody's being realistic rather than I am always wildly optimistic, but I think I'm not far off this year. I think I'm gonna try and stay a little more realistic. We'll see how long that lasts. Like 5 seconds until I put the game on in like 45 minutes, and you know, we're going to win the World Series because Jeff's playing and we're going to have a couple of hits and it's going to be great.
And the text messages I will be getting will be like, we're going to do it all, Trace. We're going to do it all.
Me? No. I don't know what you're talking about.
But I have been a Mets fan since 2006. I have been riding this roller coaster a while now. We should see. It's a long season.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get on all that behind, and it's just, but that's why I love it, and that's why I'm always optimistic though, because we've seen how bad it can be. I've seen them at pretty much the worst, so it's always going to be better than that, right? And what's the worst that can happen is that we can be the worst again. I'll still love them. Don't matter.
As long as we win in London, that's all that matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need those bragging rights.
Yeah.
So, no pressure, lads. We've done our bit. Now it's your turn.
Absolutely. On that note, we shall thank you once again, Tom. Really appreciate your notes. Don't forget, guys, if you have any more questions about London, fire them Tom's way, fire them ours way. You can find Tom at TomNYMUK. We love having him as part of the Mets in the UK community. So thank you for joining us and for giving us the time and your wonderful tips, Tom.
No, thanks for having me.
Tracy, you're welcome. Yes. Good night. No doubt you shall hear me shortly.
Almost certainly.
We will be back soon, as we said, with more of an in-depth look back over spring training, the moves that we've made over the off season, and dare we think about what's to come. You've got our initial thoughts. We'll delve a little bit more into that. So watch this space. For now, we shall say good night and let's go Mets.
Hello,
night, guys.
Bye.